Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Our first case for argument this morning is Bennett against Southwest Airlines. Mr. Rappaport.
Thank you, Your Honor, and may it please the court. My name is David Rappaport, and I am here today on behalf of people who were injured as a result of the crash of Flight 1248 at Midway. Briefly, the plane, after touching down, did not stop as it should have, crashed through barriers, ended up on the street, killing a person and injuring a number of others. The plaintiffs in this case filed their lawsuits in the state court in Chicago. In each case, the cases were timely removed, not on the basis of diversity, but on the basis of federal question jurisdiction only. Timely motions for remand were filed in all cases. These were heard by Judge Koukouras, who felt there was federal question jurisdiction. We disagree and thank this court for allowing us to bring the matter before you. There are a number of things that I'd like to cover. An overall theme is the U.S. Supreme Court has made clear that it takes more than a federal element in a case in order to open the arising under door.
Now, but Mr. Rappaport, I have to make a slight amendment to what you just said, because between Grable and Empire Health Choice, clear is not the word I would use to describe what the Supreme Court is doing with this area. Now, certainly, we all know that there's a line of cases, but it seems to me what this court needs to figure out is where Grable ends and things like Merrill Dow and Empire Health Choice begin. And any light you might throw on that thought would be appreciated.
Thank you, Judge Wood. I accept your correction. The first light I'll throw on the thought is that, by my count, at least 11 federal judges have addressed the specific question in the context of an air crash case since Grable was decided.
But I want to say, I mean, this probably, I don't know if it helps you or your opponent or whatever, but one of the things that troubled me about Judge Koukouras's opinion was that he seemed to think that the principle we're dealing with can somehow rationally be limited to air crash cases or airplane cases. And so he cites statistics about how many airplanes crash. But I don't see how that can be. I mean, there's some areas there are a lot of federal regulations in and a lot of federal law, other areas perhaps less so. But I would like to know why something is area specific if it is.
Yes. The truth is that the opening discussed in Grable could, in fact, swamp the federal court with many different types of cases, a wide variety, because the federal regulations and federal law do govern aspects of many industries, and there's no question that if Grable is read broadly instead of narrowly, you could see many different kinds of cases. We don't agree.
I think the question you're being asked is when is it read broadly and when narrowly. Now, I'm inclined to think that Grable is heavily influenced by the fact that underlying this nominally state law claim, and not very far underlying it, was the tax entitlement of the federal treasury. And the federal government couldn't collect its taxes if, after it sold the property it seized, the property would just revert to the taxpayer. Is there any underlying federal liability here? That is what's going to happen here ultimately going to redound to a claim against the United States for the behavior of the air traffic controllers, for example?
We don't think so.
How do we know?
Well, this is a lawsuit against an airline, an airport, and the people that made an airplane.
Administrative claim filed under the Federal Tort Claims Act?
Some claims may have been filed under the Federal Tort Claims Act. I don't believe that my clients have. Mm-hmm. And we have no intention of suing the air traffic controllers. I'm not aware of any other plaintiffs' lawyers that intend to sue the air traffic controllers. This is a lawsuit at the center of
it. Is it because they can't or they're just forbearing?
I'm sorry, I didn't completely.
I said, is the failure to file, is if they're just forbearing or they don't think they have a right to file? Under the Torts Claim Act.
Let me separate legal right from the factual inquiry and what we know about this case. We have public information released from the National Transportation Safety Board. We plaintiff's lawyers have evaluated this, and we believe that we have sued the culpable parties.
You think there is no possibility that there will be a Federal Tort Claims Act filed by your clients or anybody you represent in your argument here today?
Yes, understanding that I don't represent every single plaintiff in every case, and not every plaintiff has filed their lawsuits already, but we have no reason to think that there will be any addition of the air traffic controllers. And most importantly, there is no lawsuit against air traffic controllers over this today. It would be speculation about whether any such would happen in the future, but speaking for my clients and my own views, and I have looked at this deeply, we believe that we have sued the right defendants. We don't think that we have an important empty chair in the air traffic controllers. That's my personal view. So what I did is filed a lawsuit which alleges negligence. It alleges some violations of federal standards of care. And what I've tried a number of aviation cases, and I'd like to share with you that in every one of them, the federal regulations are involved, but they don't dominate everything. These cases turn on expert witness testimony by professionals in the field who don't always agree over what a federal regulation means, but they all agree on one thing, which is that every aviation professional does have a duty of due care. And I don't think that the defendants really challenge that. The question is, when is it violated, or under what circumstances is it violated?
Well, eventually the question is that, but I thought, in fact, the question before us was the much narrower question of which tribunal ultimately is going to decide what is the duty of care. Is it a federal duty? Is it a state duty? And then, having decided that, was it violated?
Well, I think that's true, but when the cases are actually tried, if you were in the role of a trial judge...
Oh, sure, eventually.
You may not declare the standard of care in such a manner. Ultimately, you're giving instructions that have either a charge is supported by evidence or not.
But let's go to the city's brief. The city cites all sorts of FAA regulations and the like. I understand them not quite to be arguing anymore that there is what is sometimes called complete preemption, but they seem to be saying that there really is, in a sense, no way that this cannot be a federal claim because all of these regulations are there defining the standard of care.
I'd like to tackle that very directly. When discovery is complete and this case will be ready for trial, in the first instance, the plaintiffs will have to make a number of decisions, one of which is, are we prosecuting violations only of a federal regulation? Let's assume, and this could occur in this case, that we make a strategic choice to only prosecute violations of a federal regulation about which nobody is disputing the meaning. All right. Now, how does that raise an important federal question? No one should lose sight of the dominant issues in this case, which are the amount of damages that our clients should receive. That is by far the overriding issue here. One case has settled already. We have an indefensible series of torts by one or more of these defendants. They really don't disagree. The questions are about amounts of compensatory damages. The dominant question in this case is a classic issue that the state of Illinois should be concerned with and has appropriate role in. But let me come back.
Could I ask you quickly, I heard in the news the other day that there was a sort of settlement. That has no impact on the case that's before us right now?
There's no impact on the legal issues before you because what has occurred is one of a series of plaintiffs with similar interests has settled. The others have not. So nothing about the settlement changes the legal issue before you. And coming to the direct test of Grable, has the defense here proven that we necessarily raise a stated federal issue actually disputed and substantial. We agree that the federal aviation program is extensive, statutory and regulatory, but we absolutely disagree that our complaints, which if you look at them, do not necessarily raise stated federal issues actually disputed and substantial, for the precise reason that we could choose to merely prosecute an existing federal regulation, raise no preemption issue whatsoever. They concede that the federal regulations apply to them and can be remedied under state law. We could do that and try whether they breached it or not, and they'd have nothing to argue about. And because we might do that, at the end of the day, they cannot prove that our complaints necessarily raise any important federal issue at all. But even if they did...
Has the removal or arising under question been addressed by any other court of appeals?
Post-Grable, the answer to the best of my knowledge is no.
How about pre-Grable?
Pre-Grable... I don't recall. I've been doing aviation for a number of years, and I don't recall the argument that's being made now being made identically. Okay, but I do know that the prevailing practice, and there are many Court of Appeals decisions that come close to it, including this court's leading choice of law decision in the American Airlines DC-10 crash, which occurred in 79. The decision came out in the early 80s. Choice of law, that state law governs these areas, that jurisdiction is had either by diversity or a federal question under one of the aviation statutes, not this implied stuff. I don't recall this being directly argued in this way.
You're into your rebuttal time, you understand, Mr.
Yeah, I see that, and I'll wrap up. I think the final point on the front end, so I do save at least a little bit of time, is to point out that we have Judge Koukouras on the one hand, and we have nine other federal judges. These decisions are coming out every week. The Grable problem in the aviation context is flooding the courts. Grable was only decided 2 years ago. You have a lot of judicial time being spent on the FAA issue. The reasons, I have only touched upon them here, but the federal judges who have disagreed, gone the other way than Judge Koukouras, all of which have been cited to you, give great reasons why you should reverse. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Rappaport.
Thank you, Judge Eastman.
Mr. Ellis.
May it please the court. My name is Jeffrey Ellis. I'm here on behalf of Southwest Airlines. I'm going to divide my time with Mr. Farkas, who's arguing on behalf of the city of Chicago. I'm going to confine my arguments, Your Honor, to what we believe the important federal question to be and go directly to the questions that you've posed. And that question is very simply, does the state of Illinois and do plaintiffs bringing claims under the state of Illinois have the right to try their cases and to use standards different from those of federal law?
But let me ask you why you think that's the question, because as I understand the plaintiff's position, if this case were to wind up in the Circuit Court of Cook County, they have said, among other things in their brief, that Illinois law incorporates federal standards. Mr. Rappaport just said, you know, maybe it'll really just be a federal standard. Why do you think the Circuit Court of Cook County is incapable of applying a federal standard of care?
It may well be, Your Honor, but this is an important federal question that under the context and the standards of Grable should be first decided here.
But there are lots of other things that are important federal questions that state courts decide every day. They're entitled to do civil rights cases. They're entitled to do any number of cases. They decide Fourth Amendment issues all the time, other constitutional questions. Why is this more important than the Constitution?
Because, quite frankly, Your Honor, this, under the Grable analysis, what the court stated is we look at the question. The question, as we have framed it, is whether the states have the right to regulate in this field, establish different standards.
But they might not be, is the thing.
I have the same question as my colleague. Illinois doesn't claim a right to establish different standards any more than it claims a right to establish different Fourth Amendment standards. Let's take a standard criminal prosecution. The defendant's charged with possessing cocaine He's prosecuted in state court. He's guilty of sin because he's been caught red-handed. And the only issue in the case is whether evidence should be suppressed for a violation of the Fourth Amendment because it was unlawfully seized. Can the defendant remove that case to federal court on the ground that the only issue is a federal constitutional issue on which the state court has no choice but to apply uniform federal law?
If the issue was resolved and not disputed, I would imagine a district court may properly remand it. However,
Fourth Amendment issue? I mean, look, the Fourth Amendment, as you know, is very fact-specific. And I think you, like we, are dealing with some language in Grable that is the antithesis of a crisp test, I'll say. It's a very fuzzy test. But the fact is, if you're implicitly agreeing that there's no removal of the Fourth Amendment claim, then I don't see why, just because there might be some dispute about the federal aviation regulations here, you wouldn't come out the same way.
I must admit, Your Honor, I'm not a Fourth Amendment expert, but I have read...
It's just a constitutional issue that comes up all the time in the courts, which I'm sure you can remember from law school.
Vaguely. however, Your Honor, what I would say is this. You're right. And I think what you articulated at the beginning of this argument, you need to decide, what does Grable decide? Where does Merrill Dow come into play?
Right.
And quite frankly, I, in my field, in the field of aviation, which the Supreme Court has stated, as we state in our brief, is more inherently federalized than any other field, that this is an important issue.
Inherently federal than drug safety. There is extensive federal regulation of drug safety. No one can put a drug on the market without the approval of federal regulators. No one can ship it in interstate commerce. And yet we know from Merrill Dow that cases involving drug safety can be litigated in state court. Why is this different?
Well, first of all, Merrill Dow is different from this case because in Merrill Dow it was an element, not the necessary element, in order to determine whether or not there's liability or not. In fact, in the same term that Merrill Dow was decided, the Supreme Court decided the Heckler case. And in Heckler, it was a slip and fall in a warehouse. A gentleman fell. He couldn't sue his employer under Florida law, so he sued his union. The Supreme Court took that garden variety state law tort claim and said, because it necessarily turns upon a construction of the union contract to determine whether the union did anything wrong to allow this case, to allow this man to fall, the case belongs in federal court. Quite frankly,
there is a special grant of jurisdiction in 29 U.S.C. 186 about such cases, but you're not appealing to Section 186.
No, you're...
Let me come back to the question, what Grable does. And I suggested to Mr. Rappaport that Grable appears to be about federal liability. Is there an argument that it extends beyond cases where the welfare of the U.S. Treasury is at stake? Well, that was the principal consideration the justices gave.
With all due respect, Your Honor, that's not the way I would read Grable. Grable says we use our common sense that the court exercises to determine, is there an important federal issue?
You don't want to appeal to common sense about federal jurisdiction. There's no such, there's no overlap between the world of common sense and the world of federal jurisdiction.
None whatsoever. I believe they quoted Judge Cardozo on that issue, Your Honor. However,
there's a lot of language in Grable that's troublesome, but I think what we do know at this point is that in Grable itself, the court says, oh, but we aren't opening the door to every tort action, because they cite Merrill Dow and talk about that. And then, just a year later, in Empire Health Choice, the court describes Grable in anorexic language. You know, the court, it's very thin, it's very narrow, it's all of these things. So you have a sense that the court in Empire Health Choice recognizes that it's possible to overread Grable.
Well, Your Honor, I suppose that is possible, and of course that's why I believe they use the term common sense and the discretion of the court to decide these issues.
I think it's a matter of judicial discretion either. The existence of federal jurisdiction is not something judges can enlarge or shrink in their discretion. Everything you're saying just causes red lights to go off. Is there some theme that you have about what Grable means that doesn't say, Your Honor, we just want you to make it up as you go along?
Of course not, Your Honor, and that's not what we've argued at all. What we argue is specifically that the federal courts should be deciding this issue because Grable says they should decide cases when, A, there's a need for uniformity. The Supreme Court, Your Honor, your own decision in Bienemann, the decision of this court in Hoagland, all say that these regulations should be uniform. The plaintiffs disagree with that.
I don't understand how that helps you.
Because the plaintiffs dispute that issue. They stand up here right now and they say they have the right to decide that this case may be...
You're not listening. I don't understand how that helps you. The Fourth Amendment is uniform nationally. There's no state discretion over it. And I certainly understood your answer the same way Judge Wood did, is saying you cannot remove to federal court just because the only issue in the case happens to be a federal issue that has to be resolved uniformly. And given that result in the Fourth Amendment case, how can a general claim of uniformity mean, therefore, it has to be in federal court?
Your Honor, if that's how my answer was understood, then I misspoke. Quite frankly, if
there's a need... So your position is that the criminal defendant can remove that case?
He may be able to remove that case, Your Honor. If the court determined that the issue was an issue of great import that needed to be uniformly resolved,
okay,
as Grable says, by the federal
Thank
courts.
Thank you, Mr. Ellis.
Thank you, Your Honors.
Mr. Parkus.
Thank you. Your Honors, not long ago in Bienemann versus City of Chicago, this court recognized that a state may not use common law procedure to question federal decisions. The claims made by the plaintiffs in the present case against the City of Chicago fall on the wrong side of this principle, and that's the reason why removal is proper here. This isn't just a matter, as in the typical aviation case that Mr. Rappaport is talking about, where a state court is asked to apply a federal law or a federal standard. In this case, at least as to the City of Chicago, the court is asked to examine the comprehensive, intrusive role of the FAA. In fact, in many, many ways, the FAA...
Look, I have the same kind of question. Why is the FAA's role any more comprehensive than the FDA's role?
Your Honor, there may be situations where the FDA does play a comprehensive role. If we're talking about the recent cases decided...
No drug can be introduced without thorough vetting under federal rules and federal approval. The whole process of producing any drug is federal from beginning to end. And yet Merrill Dow says tort litigation about claims of supposed defects in drugs can occur in state court. Now, why is the FAA's role any greater or more important or different materially from the FDA's role?
The difference, Your Honor, is that in the case before the court, the city...
I'm not asking about the case before the court. I'm asking generically about the relative roles of the Federal Aviation Administration and the Food and Drug Administration.
The problem we get into, Your Honor, is... As Grable recognizes, this is a difficult fact-specific inquiry.
Are you at all interested in answering my question?
I'm trying to, Your Honor.
It's not a question about Grable. It's a question about relative regulatory roles of two federal administrative agencies. Grable doesn't involve either the FAA or the FDA.
I understand that, Your Honor. I think the problem that we have is it's not possible to make these jurisdictional decisions based on examining agencies across the broad scope of what they may do under hypothetical situations.
But maybe what we need to do then is look to see what the Supreme Court itself has told us about what Grable means. And there we find in Empire Health Choice, the court says the dispute there, meaning in Grable, centered on the action of a federal agency, paren IRS, and its compatibility with a federal statute, just as my colleague has said. So that is rather different from this, and in your brief on page 13, you more or less concede that you would like to raise the FAA's regulatory provisions, whichever they may be, as a defense. You say, quote, yet the city asserts that it is shielded from liability related to any of the above actions because the city's decisions were either mandated or approved by the FAA. Well, obviously, a federal defense is not normally, I would have said not ever, enough of a reason to support original jurisdiction in a federal court and or removal jurisdiction. It is enough, of course, for the Supreme Court to take a case if it's unhappy with the way the state courts have finally resolved it. So why isn't your remedy to litigate this in state court, to raise as your defenses these various regulations? We had a runway that was long enough. We used the right materials for the barriers and all the rest of that. And if you're not happy with it and the Illinois Supreme Court doesn't go the way you want to, you file a petition for cert.
Your Honor, this case isn't a simple matter of conflict preemption or an attempt to remove based on a defense like Voorhees or
many other
cases.
But you said it was a defense in your brief. That's my point here.
It's not merely a defense. It is a defense, but it's much more than that. If you
okay.
examine the claims made by the plaintiffs, they go into areas that are inevitably getting into minute actions of the FAA. The city is a surrogate for the FAA in these situations, and the actions of the FAA, the regulations that need to be examined in this case, are far deeper and invasive than the mere black and white situation where a party raises a defense of a federal standard and says, based on that federal statute or regulation, liability is impossible.
Do you think that if a party takes action that is required by a federal regulation, it is acting itself as the federal government and is entitled to be in federal court?
Certainly not, Your Honor. The difference in this case...
It sounded for a second like you were making the same argument that the Sixth Circuit accepted, that the cigarette companies, in complying with federal regulations, were themselves federal actors and entitled, therefore, to litigate all their claims in federal court. I rather don't expect that to survive in the Supreme Court. But much of your argument, actually much of the argument in your brief, sounds very much like that line of argument.
The distinction here, Your Honor...
You actually use the magic word. The city is just a proxy for the federal agency, as if the federal government told the city of Chicago to construct Midway Airport in a tiny little enclave on the southwest side.
It's important to recognize the relationship between the city and the FAA because that gets into the significant federal interest here, but the issues that will need to be examined by the court that decides this case is, were the actions of the city proper under the federal standard, and did the city have the discretion?
That was a completely different question, right? That just says, our contention is that the city did not violate federal law, but that isn't even a federal defense, let alone a federal claim.
Understood, Your Honor, but that's just the beginning point, because in order to establish liability, it's necessary for the plaintiffs to determine that the city had the discretion to vary or exceed what the FAA has mandated, dictated, and walked the city through in laying out the airport, establishing the runway safety areas, whether or not it was proper to install EMAS.
Even if you were making the argument that the FAA had said to the city, we forbid you to have longer runways at Midway, which the FAA has never said to the city, I don't see why that would be more than a defense.
The distinction that I am attempting, may I finish, Your Honor? The distinction that I'm attempting to make, perhaps inartfully so, Your Honor, is that it's not merely a defense because there is a symbiotic relationship between the city and the FAA here. And it's not just a matter of the city attempting to follow a mandate, but it's doing so under the heavy hand of the FAA.
I don't think you want to depict the symbiotic relationship. The FAA is a shark and the city of Chicago is a remora. It just doesn't seem right. Thank you, Mr. Farkas.
Thank you.
Anything further, Mr. Rappaport?
Perhaps the right answer to that question is no.
Yeah. probably correct.
unless the panel has any further questions, I think I will stop talking.
Mm-hmm. Thank you very much. The case is taken under advisement.